be here, amen, amongst fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Giving honor to God, giving honor to wife, Pastor Marion, giving honor to all the clergy in the house, giving honor to everyone that's here, amen. We thank God for you. Quickly, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Keep playing for a couple more minutes. Galatians chapter 5. I told you the Lord had me not releasing me from this. We might be on this for a couple more weeks. I don't know. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. If there's ever a time before us that we need to understand that this is something we do daily. Galatians 5 and 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walking in the Spirit, as I've said before, is a lifestyle. It's a daily practice. It's a communication, a communion, a commitment to stay in the presence of God. A lot of people think walking in the Spirit is when you come and it's not in necessarily a jig or a shake or holy roll, and all that is good if that's what you do, but that's not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking in power, walking in victory. Walking in the Spirit is walking in step with God. I was thinking the other day, I was out on my route, and Mother, I was on the route, and I was talking to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, you know," because I like to just go over the Word, because the Word is, you think you know something, and the Lord just continues to unfold, and it's so, the Word is so multifaceted and so many truths, and He speaks to you at so many levels. And I said, "Lord, what does it mean even further to walk in the Spirit?" And all of those things that I just said, but it was so simple, but yet so prolific and so profound what I heard the Spirit say. And I said, "Lord, how do you walk in the Spirit? You know, give me more." And I heard the Spirit whisper, to walk in the Spirit is to walk with God. I said, "Wow, Lord." He said, "To walk in the Spirit is to walk with me every day." And you think about it, every day is a step. You say, "Lord, you know," you think about next week and the week after. He said, no, one day at a time. Every day is a step. Monday, I'm taking a step. Tuesday, I'm taking a step. Wednesday, I'm taking a step. Pastor Marion, come up here. Thursday, I'm taking a step. And you know, and I'm connected, and I'm communing with God. And you know what? He's walking, and I'm walking with Him. And as I begin to think about it, and I said, you know what? To walk with God is to commune with God, to have a daily commitment and a relationship with God. Now, I'm walking with Him. He's walking with me, but really I'm walking with Him, because I want to be a part of His plan. Amen. He sets the pace. Amen. He sets the stride. Amen. And as long as I'm connected, I keep up. Amen? Amen? And so when God steps, I'm walking right with Him. And when you say you walk with God, you know what you're saying? You say, "I agree with God." You say, "When I'm walking with God, I believe God." Amen. When you say you're walking with God, it says, you know what? I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to I'm going to do everything, amen, that he wants me to do. Amen. And that's walking with God. And every day is a new day. Don't worry about next week. Just worry about today. God, let's take a step. He said, okay, take a step with me. Just like when you have a young child and they first learn how to walk and they're falling down and it looks so cute and they stumble. But you know what? You look back and then they're playing basketball and they're playing football. And you think to yourself, that was that same kid. He could barely walk. But over time, through the process of getting up and walking and walking. And you know what? And as we continue to walk with God, you know what? It gets easier. It becomes a lifestyle. Amen. Amen. It's not a struggle. It's like, oh, God, I got to stay holy. No, it's just walk with God. Amen. Just like you get up, amen. You, some things we do, we don't even thank you. We don't even think about it. It's second nature. We do it because it just becomes second nature. You do it without thinking. You drive a car. You've been driving it so long. Sometimes you try to think, you know, how did I get here? No, you just, it's subconscious. You just do it. You drive a stick, a manual, amen, and you just, you're not even thinking about it. You just change gears. It's just something that just, whereas before when you first started, you say, okay, now is it time for me to go in a second? Okay, now, you can talk, chew bubble gum. Not supposed to be on your cell phone. Be on a cell phone, too. You're real good if you can do that. And stick and talk on the cell phone and do all that. But some of us, we can multitask and don't break a stride. Why is that? Because we've been doing that for a while. We've gotten accustomed. It becomes second nature, and we can do it because that's what we know how to do. We've been doing it a while. Well, when we walk with God in a consistent way, when we commune with God on a daily basis, you can walk in holiness all the days of the week. You don't have to be like one of these Christians up and down. I got the victory today, but I don't have it tomorrow. I got the, you know, no. You can live a life of consistency in the Spirit. You can't do it on your own, but you've got to be connected to him. And I begin to think, amen, and I know, amen, and Minister Andre can identify this, to walk with God is to walk with the cadence that God gives. You know, some of you might have been in the military, you know, and they'll be the lead guy say, yo left, yo left, yo left, right left, yo military left, and you're marching to the yo left, your right, yo left, your right, yo left, your right, yo left. And everybody, if you watch these guys, anybody ever seen it? And your spouse or husband been in the military, and Sister Gwen, I'm sure you've seen it. Those guys are all putting their foot down at the same time. Moving the right one at the same time. And it becomes electric. It just becomes a momentum. And it's a powerful thing to watch. And all of these guys are in synchronicity. Because they learn through time, through following orders and learning to follow the cadence and the rhythm of the leader. And when you follow the rhythm of the leader, just the inclinations in the voice, amen, you pick up on every little thing. You want to know what makes God happy? Walk with God. You want to feel the heartbeat of God? Walk with God. You want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Walk with God. He'll impress upon your spirit. Sometimes he may speak audibly. He may have a still, small voice, or he may give you a cadence call through your spirit. But any way that he shows up, you're going to be sensitive because you're connected to the master. He'll say, double time, you'll step it up. He says, stand still, you'll come to a halt. He say, about face, you turn around. Don't be questioning. You don't question your authority in the military. They say, stand still. You stay right there. Parade rest. You rest right there. If we don't question man's authority, how much more as soldiers in the army of the Lord, what is all this double talk that we give to God? And then we wonder, oh, Holy Ghost, through spirit of rebellion, and sometimes why he judges and he disciplines and he corrects us. Sometimes so hard. You know why? Because we're out of step. You're out of fellowship. You're out of communion. You're not listening to the cadence call. you're not walking in stride with the master stride. And God said, listen, I gotta bring you up to speed, boy. Conference, we got to talk. And he'll reason with us. And he'll, you know, and then he has remedies that if we still don't get it right, he'll deal with us even then. So to walk with God is a daily step with God. To walk with God is to believe God, to trust God, to agree with God, to commune with God, to walk in his cadence, with his cadence, to walk with the stride that God gives you to walk with. I think about Amos 3:3. He says, can two walk together except they agree? If you're not agreeing with God, in other words, if your life is inconsistent or going contrary to his will, which his word has set forth, then you're walking in disagreement with God. How can you expect the blessings of God? Amen? And it's only through his mercy. The Bible said he reigns on the just and the unjust, but I just don't want the average blessing. I want the superflowing, overflowing, pressed down blessing. I want the well done blessing. Here's a hundredfold return blessing. I just don't want an average thing. Amen. I want all that God has for me. And to get that, you and I have got to be walking consistently in step, in fellowship, and we've got to agree with God. We've got to walk with God. Our lifestyle has to agree with his will for our lives, his word. So if you want to be blessed, you got to walk with God. You got, and listen, I can two walk together, except you can't walk or be in agreement or have communion with somebody that you can't agree with. You just can't do it. You can't hang out with somebody that y'all just constantly bump into. Listen, finally, you know what? Mother, they just got to go their way. Mother, they got to go their way. You know what I said? I love you, but we just can't, you know, listen, let's separate because we can't come to an agreement. Let's just both get up from the table right now. Maybe we can talk tomorrow, the next week, but this is, we just not, we can't, there is no union. God is telling you what he requires and expects from us, and we're trying to tell God what we're going to give him. God saying, holiness unto the Lord. And you say, Lord, I just give you what I give you. God says, wait a minute. We can't go another step. We can't walk together because you don't agree with my word. You don't believe my word. Because if you believe me, Jesus said, if you love me, it is, you will keep my commandments. So the truth of the matter is, let's get to the heart of the matter. Are you in love with Jesus? And if you, let's look at your actions. Forget, talk is cheap because we say I love Jesus all we want and sang these songs. But no, I'm talking about the fruit of your life. I'm talking about your actions. Don't read my words, read my actions. You'll know the tree by the fruit that it bears. And if your life isn't producing what God says it should be producing, there is something wrong with the source. Amen? So we got to get back and say, God, you know, wait a minute. You know, I'm going to agree and walk with you like you want me to, or I'm going to do my own thing. Now, that's where we got to make the choice. Can two walk together except they agree? Now, there are things that take place that try to break up that communion, that relationship, that walk of fellowship. There are distractions, and you begin to think about all the things that are out there. We talk about walking in the spirit, and it's like in today's time, we are bombarded every day on every side. Images, music, movies. People have dress. I mean, everywhere and every way we turn, there's something to try to pull us away from our fellowship with God. Listen, the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen to this. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust, this is what the world gives and offers and constantly puts out. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now listen to this. Each and every one of us that has a heartbeat in this room today, amen, and all of you, thank God you do, amen. The truth of the matter is we are all bombarded or tempted or tested in one of these areas every day. Can we tell the truth? Can y'all handle the truth? Look their neighbor and say, can you handle the truth? All right, here we go. Well, here it is. Amen. As you are a flesh creature, amen, there are things that are warring against you daily. And that's why the Bible says you've got to stay in the spirit. You've got to stay connected with God. Because there are so many distractions. If you break fellowship with God or if you get distracted, these things want to pull you away from your relationship and your communion with God. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, more stuff, materialism, and none of that stuff is bad in and of itself. But it really speaks of an inward condition. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You've got to set in your heart and you've got to say, you know what? I'm going to serve the Lord my God and I'm going to serve him only. I will love the Lord my God with all of my strength, with all of my heart, and with all of my mind. And I'm not going to let anything, any trick, any device, any situation, and when I said trick, I meant him or her. That's exactly what I meant. And anything, amen, that would try to keep you from your communion or your love relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can be victorious consistently over these things is to walk in the Spirit or to walk with God or have communion with God. Because the only thing that the world has, and it's like, well, Pastor, we're in this world. How do we deal with? Well, think of it like this way. We're like a boat that's in the water, but the water shouldn't be in the boat. Amen. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. I know we're bombarded with all of this stuff. Amen. I know it's all around us. And we have to go through and we got to hold our noses and we got to do all those things. Keep our eyes straight and keep our thoughts right and keep our bodies in line with the word of God. But remember, we're like that ship that's on the water. But don't let the water on the boat. Look to your neighbor and say, don't let the water on the boat. Amen. Amen. Because you let a little water on the boat. Amen. However it got there the first time, its friends going to want to come too. And next thing you know, you're going to have a whole bunch, and it's going to affect your buoyancy, and it's going to affect the control and the direction of your ship, and its ultimate goal is to shipwreck you and send you down to the abyss of the ocean floor. That's what Satan's design and job is, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, you don't have to fall for that, because I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In other words, you can be victorious over all of this stuff, but you've got to follow my program. You've got to follow my word. You got to be obedient to what I call and command you to do. And you can navigate through the treacherous waters of life and make it to your port of destination safely and victoriously as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Even as Peter, I couldn't help but think about it, when he saw the Lord, and he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, come on, Peter. And Peter got out the boat and began to walk. But then something happened. Distraction. The cares of life. Winds, trials, tribulations. You know how it is, amen? And next thing you know, they begin to attack our focus, which is on the master. And then we begin to lose focus on the master. And then as the flooding waves, we begin to sink and that water begins to come into our life. But as long as he kept his eyes on the prize, as long as he kept his eyes on the Alpha and the Omega, as long as he kept his eyes on that bright and morning star, as long as he kept his eyes on the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, as long as he kept his eyes on the great I am, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. The blessing of this scripture is, amen, and what I love about the Bible not only shares with us the conquests and the victories, amen, and the blessings of obedience, but it also shows us the failures of men. Most people would have said, you know what, I'm not going to show you the bad stuff. I'm just going to show you all the good stuff so y'all can see how, but it's there for our edification. It's there for us to learn, amen, don't put any faith or trust in the flesh. Paul said, put no confidence in the flesh. And these things, whether they be from David to Noah to Solomon, amen, even all the great things that they've done, amen, but their failings and their sin, we can learn from, not repeat them. They're not there as an excuse to say, well, they failed, I can fail too, you know, because after all, no, they're there so you can be victorious and not make the same mistakes. After all, isn't that what we tell our children? I'm telling you this so you don't make the mistakes that I made. Now, if you learn and if you sit down and let mom and dad teach you some things and share with you and don't be so stubborn and rebellious and understand that I'm telling you because I love you and because I want more out of your life and I want you to be greater and go further than I've gone, then if you would sit down just a few minutes and stop fighting me and listen to what I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to get you to another level in life. And we look at our natural parents and our spiritual parents with that contempt and that rebellious attitude because we think they're trying to hold us back. No, we're trying to propel you to the next stratosphere. We're trying to show you how to live victorious. We're trying to show you how to do better than what we ever did. We want you to be successful. We want you to grow. And after all, that's what God has in store for all of us. John said, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I want you to do well. I want you to be in health. I want you not only, amen, to be blessed, amen, physically, but I want your soulish man. I want you to be blessed in every dimension of your being. The full trichotomy of your being, not only be blessed in your body, but be blessed in your mind. Be blessed in your soul. Be blessed in your emotions. And be blessed even in your pockets. Nothing wrong with it. But we have to heed the wisdom that God is yielding to us. See, we're so easy to listen to the wisdom of the world. And you're talking to Sally and Joanne and Henrietta, and they all got failed marriages. You don't need to talk to them. Nothing against them personally. But I need to seek out somebody who's been married for 40, 50 years. And I need to say, mother, have a talk with me. Tell me, how do you do it? How do you handle it? And she can say from a spiritual, not from a failed or world stand. But listen, baby, this is how you be victorious. Because not that the others can't tell you something based on their failure, but if they're not careful, they're still speaking to you from their bitterness. And they're still trying to advise you from their pain. And they're still trying to speak to you through their hurt. And I understand that, but I need a clean perspective. Amen? So God wants to take us to another level. So Enoch, the Bible says in Genesis 24, walked with God. Listen to that. Enoch walked with God. That should be our desire. As Enoch, he walked with God. He communed with God. He pleased God. He believed God. He obeyed God. And even as Abraham, he was a friend of God. Isn't that something that you can walk with God? Brothers, come here. Come here. Come here. Over here. Isn't that something that you can have a relationship with God? You can be God right now. Amen. That I can walk with God and he says that I'm his friend. Man, you know how powerful that is. When you walk in obedience and fellowship and relationship, and when you please God, say, you can call me friend. Whoa! That I got a friend that is God of the heavens, that is Elohim, that God of the universe, that he is God of everything, and he calls me friend. So no wonder I'm walking with him. Come on, let's take a walk. I'm going to put a little strut in my walk. Because I got friends in high places. Amen. I'm walking in confidence. I'm walking in favor. I'm walking in victory. And don't get jealous because you can do it too. Amen. And I walk with him. I commune with him. If I need advice, I can go to him. If I need wisdom, I can ask him. If I need direction, I can come to him. If I need a blessing, I can say, Father, bless me. Lay your hands on me. God, if I need you to give me some direction, I got it because I'm connected to him. So when we have that kind of relationship with God, Not a spiritual arrogance or a cockiness, but you know what? It should make you stand up. Wow. I'm a friend of God. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. And just as a natural son or daughter, amen, is an heir to everything that their father has, their mother has, it eventually is going to be passed to them. Then guess what? The blessings. We're heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But you can't get it if you're out of relationship. If you're rocking, look to your neighbor and say, don't rock, walk with the wrong one. And a coin this, amen, and he had it half right, you got the right one, baby. When you're walking with God, you got the right one, baby. Be careful what God you're walking with. Some of us, we in relationship and we walking with other gods. We're outside of the ark of safety. Who would walk with a thief and a mugger and a bandit? Who would walk and have dinner with an axe murderer? Who would sit down at night, amen, and have a conversation with a homicidal, egotistical maniac who gets off in torturing and killing? Who would walk with somebody like that? Well, when you're not walking with God, what's the opposite? You're walking with Satan. And there's nothing good in him. Let me bring it down a little closer. They may be in a different pantsuit, might have a different dress on. Let me bring it down even further. Be careful who you yoke up. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's go there. Enoch walked with God. Amen. Let's go 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14. You have that, say hallelujah. Amen. 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 Word says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, the whole idea and the concept, I believe, is coming out of Leviticus, where under the law that you were not to yoke up two different kinds of animals. For instance, you wouldn't yoke up an ox and an ass. Think about that, okay? Even in today's time, don't yoke up with the donkey, okay? But it was for agricultural purposes, for the fruit of the land, that because you had one animal that was clean and another animal that was unclean. Think about it. God is saying, don't allow yourself to be yoked up with something that's unclean. You have been washed. You have been purified. You have redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let's read it. So it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now you think about this. We'll say, Lord, well, how am I supposed to witness and minister if you're saying we can't have fellowship, we can't yoke? I mean, how are we going to witness to them if we can't be around them? That's not what he's saying. Amen? It says here, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness and communion? Let's deal with, number one, the yoking. The yoking is binding together in agreement and relationship. Number one, if you look at that, you can look at one several different things. Number one, the obvious thing is a believer should not marry an unbeliever. Amen? Someone who is born again, your spouse, the one significant other, if they're not the Lord's kid, you have no business yoking up with them. That's a long-term covenant relationship, ought not to be. Amen? And it says here, listen, and it says, with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness? It speaks of the attitudes that are in our heart. In other words, how is the world or the people who don't know Christ affecting you? How have they influenced you? Are they influencing you to the point where you are compromising your faith? Because I got to work with these people. You see them in the supermarket. We're shoulder to shoulder with them, you know. You're all around stuff. But really, the condition has to be set inside, in the heart, because you're going to be with them. But, and the other thing is, we have to be careful that we as Christians, we ought not enter into relationships, whether it's business, long-term, or a significant, especially spiritual matters, just with anybody, because their ideals are different. We serve Christ. We believe in giving to Christ. We believe in the work of the ministry. We believe in yielding ourselves. We believe in brotherly love and kindness and all of that. And someone who is not born again of the Spirit, they have many times, you know, different ideas and motives and ambitions. So even on paper, even at business, we have to be careful. Now, if we're for a business exchange or a loan or something, and you're not in these people's lives or whatever, that's fine. But I'm talking about people you're walking in closeness with, people you're tied to the hip with. You got to be careful that you don't get hooked up with the wrong person. Amen? So we've got to make sure that we're not allowing, again, that boat is on the water, but the water isn't in the boat. When the water gets in the boat, then we're unequally yoked, because we're allowing that influence, that world, that system, that culture, those people to influence us, and we're becoming like them instead of them becoming like us. And it's a negative. And it goes further and says, what does light have in common with darkness? None. And what concord or agreement have Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, which is an unbeliever? So Christ and the devil has nothing in common. So, and obviously, amen, we ought not be in places and situations, we should notice, amen, where you say, I'm sitting at the club because I want to witness for Christ. No, wrong answer. Amen. You shouldn't be there. Or I'm just looking. Hey, well, your eyes are going to get you in trouble. That's not what you should be doing. Amen. Well, I'm just listening to these lyrics. No, if it's perversive, if it's negative and dirty in nature, you should not be listening to it. Amen. That's becoming yoked up with the world, yoked up with an idea, unbelievers, a system. And it can be people, depending on the lifestyle of those people. They smoke and reef and joint and pine. You're talking about, I'm just going to sit around and be a witness. But no, you need to get out of there. Well, I'm just going to witness when they come back to reality. When they come down off their high, I'm going to let them know I love them. Well, no, you need to let them know you love them and leave. Because we have nothing in common. Amen. God delivered me from that stuff. Deliver me from coke. Deliver me from the bottle. Deliver me from pornography. Deliver me from stealing. Deliver me from adulterous relationship. Deliver me from us. So why am I hanging around folk that's just diving into that stuff? And then you wonder why your thoughts is all messed up. Wonder why your attitudes are funky. Wonder why you don't have no peace in your mind. Wonder why you just don't feel like coming to church. Who you been hanging around? Who been influencing you? Who have you allowed to hook up with you and connect with you? Because you know what? And all y'all smell good. But you get next to somebody that don't take care of themselves. I don't care how clean you are. You will smell, excuse the expression, the difference, let's say that way. Amen? So if I'm going to hook up, I need to hook up with clean people. That if there's going to be a residual, that's okay because this is my brother. So just as in the natural, so is in the spiritual. If natural body odors can transfer, how much more do you think spiritual influence can affect you by hanging around negative people who don't love Christ, who's living any kind of way, got their hands in all kind of mess, and you think you can hook up with that and it not affects you? And you wonder why you can't pray. You wonder why you can't hear from God. Who you been hanging around? Who have you let influence you? Who have you let pour water in your boat? So he says here, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he to do with an unbeliever? Yes, we love them. We reach out to them. But don't get it twisted. I'm not your buddy that you can tell dirty jokes to. I'm not the one. I might have been, but that's not me anymore. Amen? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Then he breaks it down, and then it says, listen, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in. Let me think about this. We think about going back to Enoch. Think about this. Enoch walked with God. Enoch pleased God. Enoch believed God. Enoch communed with God. And the Bible said he did it so much that God took him. God was happy. He said, I want you up here with me. And let me say this. Don't you know that as we walk with God, and I'm talking while you're here. You're not going yet. But while you're here on planet Earth, you can walk and commune with God and be raptured daily in his presence because he's so pleased with you. Because he loves you and you love him that you might not literally be taken up, but you can be raptured daily in his presence. God can reveal and speak to you and commune with you and talk to you and caress your spirit daily because you please God and you bring about such a sweet aroma to his nostrils that God says, come, I got to make my abode. I've got to take him to another level. I've got to reveal my glory, my Shekinah glory. I've got to take him up even to the third heaven. I've got to reveal myself to him. I've got to show him things that I don't normally do because I'm so pleased because they believe my word. They trust me. They walk with me. They agree with me. God said, I'm going to reveal all of my glory. Who was it after all Moses said to God? He said, God, show me, reveal your glory to me. It's going to cost you something. You got to be willing to walk with him. You got to be willing to commune with him. You've got to be willing to fellowship with him. You've got to be willing to lay down your life daily to have that relationship with God. And God said, when you do that, God said, I will rapture you in my presence. And I will reveal mysteries. I think about John on the Isle of Patmos. Here they call themselves punishing him and casting him away and locking him up, kicking him out of a society. He was a menace. He was a problem. He was preaching the word. They said, let's shut him down. Let's put him somewhere. But they didn't know that they couldn't shut down his God, his walk with God, his communion with God, his hearing from God, his relationship with God, his love for God. It only intensified and it only got stronger. It got so much stronger that God said, come up higher and I'm going to show you some glory. Things and God revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos while they cast him in prison, while they kicked him out. God said, I'm going to take you up and I'm going going to show you some things that you have never seen before. Thank you, Jesus. They thought that they were shutting them down, but God took them higher. God wants to take us higher. Hallelujah. Even some of you may feel like you're in different aisles of Patmos for whatever reason. Understand that God hasn't abandoned you. Maybe it's a time and a season where God is setting you off to yourself. God is saying, I'm communing with you, but I want to get you solely and wholly to myself where there will be little or no distraction. Sometimes, God, I'll let people walk out of your life. Let them go. My friend, they don't love. Let them go. I don't have no friends. Let them go. My family don't talk. Let them go. Could it be that God is trying to do something and God is trying to speak something into you and reveal himself to you, and God is saying, I can't have the influence of others around you? God is saying, I've got to do an Abrahamic move in your life. I've got to send you into a different country. I've got to send you away from your kinfolk, from your nieces and your aunties and your uncles and all of them. God said, and not that anything is wrong with them, but God said, I need your full and undivided attention. I need to know that you're looking to me and only to me. And God said, I want you to walk with me day after day. I want you to step with me. I want you to believe me. I want you to trust my word. And God has said, I'm going to lead you. And I'm going to birth through you a new nation. A new ministry. All because you chose to believe God. All because you chose to walk with God. All because you chose to lean and trust on God. God said, now I'm going to reveal my glory. He said to Abraham, he said, look up. As the stars of heaven, so shall your seed be. As the sands of the grain of the seashore, so shall your seed be. All because of Abraham's obedience. Because he believed God. And he too was a friend of God. So God is saying, I'm doing a work in your life. I'm calling you to myself. People may not understand, but keep walking. You may feel that you're by yourself. Keep walking. You may say, well, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life and my finances. Keep walking. The doctor said, this is going into my body. Keep walking. I'm the God that healeth. Keep walking. I don't know where my next meal is coming. Keep walking. He shall supply all of his needs, your needs according to his riches and glory. Keep walking. David said, I've been young and old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed break for bread. Keep walking. So he says, and what agreement, I'm reading this, have the temple of God with idols. God is saying, you got to pull down every temple, idol, God that's in your life that displeases me, that interferes and interrupts our relationship. God said, I will have no other gods before me. Whatever, whoever, and whatever it is that would interfere with that love walk, with that relationship walk, with that daily walk in the Spirit, whatever it is that would displease God, I've got to cut it off because, God, I love you more. Now, the Bible said, choose ye this day who you will serve. It gets back down. Amen. I don't mean anymore. Ella, if you can stand up. Amen. Pastor, come here. It gets back to which God? Who you love more? Are you going to side with the side of Satan? Or are you going to side with the side of God? Don't make it more difficult than it has to be. You know why? Because God said, you know what? You've already made your decision because of where your heart is. He said, this is already formality because you've already demonstrated that you love the thing, the person, the situation more than you love me. God said, I just had to show you, because I already know what's in you. But God said, I had to reveal what's in you. You know why? Because he said, listen, he says, I'm sorry to the backslider, but he said, listen, you've got to choose ye this day who you will serve. Moses said to the children of Israel when they came down, amen, and he saw that they had rebelled against God, and he said, those of you that are on the Lord's side, on this side, those of you not, y'all stay there. And what God did, he consumed. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Those that did not heed and obey the word. God is saying, even now, choose life. Look to your neighbor and say, get in the ark. The rain's about to come down. You can't do the two-step when the door is already closed. Because when he closed the door, it said, God shut the door. And you know why? Because a man with emotions would have saw babies and would have saw young children, women. They said, oh, Lord, I got to let a couple in. But God said, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to close the door. Because I gave them time. Over all that time. Scores of years, and they still did not. You want to know what the grace of God is? God's long suffering. That he gives us time. That's his grace. But why do we wait so long? Why do we wait so long to respond to the master's call? Everyone stand. The rains are soon to come. The forecast is in. It's overcast. The clouds are billowing in. We hear in the distance the rumbling in the heavens. We see the clouds drawing in, the sun being blocked. The sky is darkening over the horizon. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. How much more do you need to see? How much longer are you going to wait before my judgment falls upon the nations? Is it worth it? Was it worth it? A few dollars, a few relationships, a few cars that you got through ill-gotten gains, that you stole, that you manipulated, that you take advantage of people? Is it worth it? What profit the man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What can a man give in exchange? Don't you know the Bible says our life is like a vapor? Like a flower of the field, one day it's in its beauty and its full bloom and its glory. You say, oh, how precious it is. And you come back 6 hours later and it's tilt over and it's withered and it's dead. That's how the brevity in the scheme of things life is. So the point is, make every moment count. Redeem the time. Don't let a day go by. Now that you know the truth, the Bible said, the truth shall make you free. The only thing that keeps you from walking in truth is what you love. Men, God said, men love darkness rather than light because something inside of them refuses and rebels because their heart is evil. Their deeds are evil. But God can take a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. If you're here today and you know that God is speaking to you, whatever it is, you need a closer walk, you need to rededicate your life, you need to get back in step with God, you've gotten out of fellowship with God, you're not walking with him like you should, you're not listening to his cadence, you're not walking with his stride, you're not hooked up as you should, come to the altar and we're going to believe God that God's going to restore you. This day, hallelujah. This this moment, this hour. Don't wait. See, you're looking at the man. You don't know God through the Holy Spirit is speaking to you.